Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Nevermind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today, I actually have my good friends, Alex, with me, and I have the Pick the Flip podcast with me. Alex is busy visiting his wife, Sophia, right now, because he's just so intoxicated and in love with her.
Oh, don't put that on me. I'm married. No, I'm sorry, baby. You're watching this. No, there is no other wife.
You're the only one. Hey, forget about it, right? So anyways, guys, this is going to be our season one, episode 3, Bless Review. So let's go ahead and let's review The Penguin. And hey, guys, welcome to the show.
What's up?
Let's just jump right into it. Sophia Falcone, is it just me? Is it just me? Or, my gosh, I was like, first terrified. Like, I'm sorry, I missed the first two reviews, so I didn't get a chance to say that. First, I was terrified. I'm like, oh, this woman is very scary. She's going to kill people. Now, I'm like, you know, like, she comes up on screen, and I'm just...
When are you going to do next, right? It's like, okay, baby, show me what you got. What are you working with, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm just like, ooh, Sophia. Okay, anyway, hi. Thanks for having you, John.
Good having you back, Alex, as always. It's great to have you. And same thing with you, Pick a Flick, as well. So, first of all, I just want to say this. Colin Farrell is definitely fire as the Penguin. I love Colin Farrell as the Penguin. He's threatening, he's menacing, it's always interesting to see what he's going to do next and how he's going to get himself out of the shit that he's got himself into. Because he's got like a lucky rabbit's foot or something that he's just carrying around whenever some stuff goes down. And I just love watching him every single episode. And even Sophia, too. Sophia is definitely someone that I watch constantly. If I could actually edit something from HBO, from Max, I would just make it focus on her. But because she's so beautiful. But anyways, Colin Farrell does a fantastic job of playing the Penguin. I love his performance in it. Hands down, one of the best performances for the Penguin. But anyways, let's go on ahead. I like the fact that we're actually focusing more on Victor this go around because we don't know too much of his origins or anything like that. And, of course, his family. It goes into his family's apartment before leaving to meet up with friends, despite his father's disapproval for one of Victor's friends' cousins being a known drug dealer. While hanging out with his girlfriend, Priscilla, on a rooftop, Victor witnessing multiple explosions across Gotham City, destroying the seawall in the distance, Victor sees the flood hitting his house, killing his family. The thing that I really loved was the family aspect of it, because we actually get to see Victor's family and the way that he interacts with his family and how he loves his father. And I like how the back and forth between the father and him, the father's cooking and he wants to be the protector for his son, for Victor. And then it goes to show you, like, within an instant, things could change. And also another thing too, that I have to say, besides the family dynamic that I liked, was the fact that you have Victor looking over the city with his girlfriend. And she goes, do you ever wonder what it'd be like to live across there with all the rich people? And then Victor also comes in and says, is this all you want, Dad? And it also reflects back onto the present day Victor of him interacting with Oz. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, man, I really love the opening. I mean, just the whole family. I think this is probably going to be the cleanest family dynamic we get in this whole show, because obviously there's toxic holes within the other families there. So just to see this clean-cut family having a good time, just bonding, just talking before. And Riddler, man, just takes everything away. It's just heartbreaking. It's just heartbreaking. I don't know. I really want more of that. That family. So,
absolutely. I agree with that family dynamic and how it, you know, it starts off showing his, you know, birth family, you know, just getting that, you know, set up, like where he came from and how he got to where he is now. And, you know, a lot of people were talking about on the internet. It was really interesting to me. It was just like more than just, you know, how Victor lost his family due to the Riddler explosion. But, you know, it also gives you more like depth into the Batman movie itself. It was just like, oh, when you think about it, Batman lost in that movie. Like, people die, you know, and it just shows like the impact of like when things like this happen, like who does it really affect? Like, mm-hmm. even though the Riddler was targeting the rich, who suffered all the consequences at the end? It was the poor people. And then where do people, you know, who already have so little, we're like, where do they end up turning to when they have nothing else to lose? Like, you know, at this point, it's survival. So it's like really interesting seeing like getting that motivation. Like, oh, why would Victor like he seems like a good kid. He just, you know, made a stupid decision trying to steal the Penguin's car or his tires. Like, you know,
right.
Why would he want to get in that life? Well, you know, his family's gone. Everything that he's known and loved is gone. So it's just like, yeah, I kind of get it. So it's like seeing that side, like, you know, you don't want him to be with the Penguin because, you know that how that life's going to turn out. But at the same time, you're like, I get it. $1,000 a week? That's...
I'm like, hell yeah, pay me up.
Where's the Batman at? Let's go.
Especially when Oz tells him this, anything you want, you get.
You got to speak up.
Right, exactly. So $1,000 a week and I get anything I want? Okay, sign me up. This is what I want. But at the same time, though, remember, Oz also had a gun held to his head in the first episode. And he was sweating bullets the whole entire time in that first episode. So he's like forced into this because of the fact that he witnessed Oz carrying down the body and he has no choice but to stick with him. And then you see him still sticking with him because of the fact he's afraid that Oz is going to kill him. It's kind of like stalker syndrome, basically, where he's now stuck with Oz, and this is all he knows is Oz now because that family that he had is now gone.
Like, look at, like he even says, look at all this stuff I'm giving you. I give you money, mm-hmm. I give you a place to stay, I give you, you know, so it's just kind of like, also, like, I'm not forcing you to stay here, which is like,
you're gaslighting him, is what you're doing.
Because I love you. Right. I never do nothing wrong to you.
Right? But yeah, and then, you know, then you also see Sophia, who introduces Oz to a drug operation, a new product that was used on her and the other inmates on Arkham, with Oz naming it Bliss to build a new operation base. Oz gets them to meet with Ling Taze, a triad member. Meanwhile, Victor is visited by Garcia, and learns she's leaving for California to start over. Victor reveals he is working with Oz, and Garcia urges him to leave with her. Tempted, he gives her a share of $1,000 stipend and tells her to buy a bus ticket for the both of them. So my thing is this, okay? I love how these scenes play out, because then you actually have a big visual of what Oz is gaining. Because he's like watching all these chess pieces move. Sophia comes up to the apartment. She puts on the little music and stuff like that, and she just, figures. And
didn't know where that was going.
Right. She's like, he goes, oh, you like it? No, it's tacky. Ah. And you can definitely tell that she's busting his balls. But at the same time, she wants him for an investment. She doesn't have anybody else to turn to because of the fact, number one, you have Johnny Vitti that's taking control, who's the underboss of Luca. And so basically, she doesn't want to turn to but Oz. And Oz is also considered an outcast if you think about it from that family. So you have two outcasts that are working together, and they have no, and one of them are afraid that they're going to backstab each other. It's just a matter of when and who is going to do it first. And so it's like, well, I need you for this business. So she takes him over to this whole thing and goes, shrooms? What's the big deal with shrooms? This is actually in everybody's dorm in Gotham. She goes, yeah, but it's a very different type of drug. We're not doing the actual shrooms. We're taking the chemicals off the shrooms and making hallucinations from it and getting a high from it, which I think will also tangle up. And I'm still going to say this with Scarecrow, I think.
I've been thinking, I was like, yeah, and you know, she was tripping in that last episode during the therapy session. And I'm like, I don't think that her therapist is Dr. Kane, the Scarecrow, but I'm just like, are they kind of teasing it a little bit?
I think so. I think they're actually teasing it just a little bit to the point where I think she's going to sell it over to Arkham for a higher price than what they're actually going for, I think, or something. Something on that suit. But what do you pick up? Like, what do you think of this?
I thought it was just a very risky decision, kind of getting Oz in it. But at what can she do? She's got all of the family just getting dropped one by one. I don't know. This team up brought in some really good dynamics between the two. I just really like the rapport between them. There's some really good one-liners in this. Probably some of the funniest so far in the show. But I don't know. That was just a good decision on the part. Out of Oz knows a lot more about the underground. That's what he really wants.
Right. Because you can see it. You can see it in his eyes. This is what Oz wants. And he's like, okay, so I can control this situation if once they get taken out and I get to control this operation. But I have to make sure both families wind up fighting against each other so that way I can take the slim pickings of everything that they have for both families.
Yeah.
But there's something that was interesting that Sophia says to Victor, though. Where she's like, you do know that Oz was my driver, right? I thought that was interesting because of the fact normally it's the driver that's driving the mafia boss. It's not the driver driving the daughter of the mob boss. So she's got that mafioso to her to where she's like, she's a woman of power already, in a sense, because of the fact that, you know, she's got a driver, Oz is driving her everywhere and stuff like that. So she also has that little mafioso kind of feel to her of woman of power. That's what I was thinking whenever they said that. I'm like, okay, that's an interesting little twist on it, though. Because we never seen a female mob boss before, other than, like I said before in the last review, in the second season of The Sopranos, we see a female boss in Italy. That's controlling everything. Because it would never happen in the States. It would never happen in the States because they would never take her seriously. Just as they won't take Sophia seriously and they won't take Oz seriously either, like Johnny Vitti said.
Yeah. You know, what I love what this show is doing, it's constantly reminding you of something that Penguin says in the first episode where he, you know, when they're driving to the Falcone mansion for the first time, he's like, oh, they probably just, you know, want to shake me, you know, new leadership, you know, they want to shake you down a little bit. So, you know, you go there, you make yourself look small, make them feel big, and then, you know, you're able to get what you want. So I feel like the show with Sophia, like, mentioning, like, oh, did you know Oz was my driver? Like, it's constantly reminding you what the other members of the gang think of him. Like, he's just the Penguin. He's just the big, dumb, rough guy that, you know, they send to do dirty work, and that's all they're saying. But in reality, he's just playing them this whole time. So like they're setting up the pieces where, like, that's going to be Sophia's downfall. Now, she is definitely the wild card out of this whole mob war thing, because she's also hiding a lot more than she's letting on. Like, she's definitely, people still think she's unhinged. They still think she has, like, that hangman in her, which she does. But I think right now she has control of it.
Right. But I think she's hiding it very well.
Yeah, she's hiding it very well. She's using that against people. Like, she's using that fear. But she's still underestimating Penguin. Like, he's better at hiding his true self than...
Because he doesn't let his own... Here's the thing. He's like the strong silent type, basically, where he doesn't let his emotions show through because it shows a moment of weakness.
Sometimes.
Right, sometimes. But the only one that actually gets to see the, those moments is Victor. Nobody else sees it.
Yeah.
But Victor. Who's to say, though, that he's not bullshitting Victor either? He could actually just be making up stuff just to manipulate him.
You know, I genuinely think his words to Victor are like true, like honest. Because I think what they're doing between Penguin and Victor is like, you know, Oz sees himself. I know I keep going back and forth between calling him Oz.
No, no.
Let's call him Penguin. That's how I recognize him. Penguin, you know, he sees a lot of himself in Victor. You know, Victor, you know, has that stutter, you know, not a disability, but, you know, he has something that people immediately look down on him because, and, you know, same thing with, like, you know, the Penguin's bum leg, you know, there, you know, there's that connection there, like, hey, you came from nothing, I came from nothing, like, I built myself into this, I want to see you do the same, like, I feel like that connection is genuine, but I'm worried that, you know, is this like it was a lot of love between those two, like, you know, the Penguin,
like a father and son bonding kind of.
You know, on the toxic side, Stockholm syndrome side, it was kind of love. It was love.
We're gonna get to this one part inside the club that he mentions to Victor later on that I want to bring up. But go on ahead, Alex. I'll leave.
But like, you know, just there's that genuine love that Penguin has for Victor, and that they're also, they put a lot of focus into just their connection. So I'm like, oh no, they're setting up for Victor. Cause I don't, you know, people in the chat will correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if Victor's in the comics at all.
He's not, he's just a fictional character bait because I did some research. I'm like, okay, is there some origin to this that I don't know about with Victor? And he's just a fictional character for the show to keep it going. And
yeah, work.
But he's safe. Otherwise. Okay.
So I'm like, so if he's not in the comics, that means he's either A, he's going to get killed by Sophia when eventually her and Oz turn on each other, or he's going to get killed by Penguin because he needs to show that he's that guy.
Right.
Or maybe he survives, but he gets put in a coma by the Robert Pattinson Batman. Like,
because vengeance,
right. all three scenario. I think Penguin's gonna end up killing him, and so I'm like, oh, this is too loving between these two. They're gonna break my heart. That's just my prediction on that.
Okay, so what about you, Pick a Flick? We'll talk about your point, and then after that, we'll get over to to Victor's girlfriend.
And him. You know what? See what freaked me out of Robert Pattinson show up, but you know it might be too on the nose with the movie. As much as I want to see that happen. But yeah, man, we're kind of at that train day level. I'm kind of just at the impending doom stage. Like, I know something's probably going to happen different, but I just don't know how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and how I'm just going to plan to put him in this web of lies that he's been putting him on so far. Because obviously, as you mentioned, there is love there, but at the same time, like, he's just going to be a pawn in something. When something doesn't go out of his way and he has to do a plan B or a plan C, like we said in the last episode. I just don't know, man. I do think that there is good love there, but just as the episodes go down and you get less and less, I just feel more.
It's bad, chemically imbalanced love is what it is.
Right. I said maybe there is a scarecrow there. Somebody.
But let's talk about this with Garcia and Victor. I love the relationship between them. Because she's like, look, you're in this deep. If you go any deeper, there's no getting you out. You have to go on ahead. We have to leave now. And Victor's kind of contemplating it. He goes, well, let's see here. Oz gave me $1,000. I can have anything I want. All I got to do is ask for it. Then he's like, would my dad want this? You can see it in his eyes. He doesn't say it at this moment, but you can see it. Is this what my family would want me to do?
Yeah.
Or is this what Oz wants me to do, is to stay? And if I don't stay, Oz will kill me as well. So he's weighing out his options. And he's also distracted. And Oz also realizes, oh, he's also distracted as well. Because he sees him texting her back and forth and stuff like that. And she shows up to the apartment. And he's like, you know what? Here's $1,000 to get you out of here and get me out of here. But you know, I definitely like how they played around with that, because it's like, is he going to go? Is he going to stay? It's kind of like this, that song, right? Should I stay or should I leave? And so I like the balance between him trying to pick and choose of what to do.
Yeah.
And that struggle there.
I feel like that also is a good point, where it's just, it shows how intelligent the Penguin is, especially like when it comes to manipulating people to get what he wants. And like, because a lot of the stuff he says is like, is definitely manipulation, but also true. And that's what's so effective about it, because he's telling him like, hey, you know, what happens to the poor, honest working man? Like, they die in the gutter. Like, they get nothing out of it. So yeah, you love your dad, but where did that get him? You know, so, you know, he's making these points, and, you know, and I feel like, one, I feel like, what was her name? Graciela or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, Graciela.
I don't remember if she knew that he was working with the mob or not, or Victor was working.
She didn't know that up until Victor winds up saying, I'm getting $1,000.
Okay.
And
so,
she's wondering where he's getting it from.
So, I was kind of annoyed by her, because I was just like, girl, you're making it seem like, hey, just tell your boss that you're leaving. Like, do you not know how like gangs work? You don't just like, hey, here's my 2-week notice. Like, you can't just do that.
I'm gonna leave. Here you go, Oz. Screw you.
Here's my resignation.
You know, and like, you know, and like, that's another thing that I love about this show, is just like, it really makes you want Victor to stay in a life of crime.
Right.
Like,
it does.
I was like, 100%, he should have gone on, like, real life, get on that bus. You know, I don't know if he should have stole the Penguin's car, but whatever. You know, get on that bus, go to California, and see what happens. Maybe you don't end up breaking up with this girl a few months later. Who knows? But, like, story-wise, you're like, no. Like, Victor, you kind of making it right now. Batman
right.
is somewhere else in the city. You're chilling. You know, so it's you know, the show really does a great job of like making you empathize with these characters. He's just like, you know, okay, right. Break the law a little bit.
Right. But another thing though too, and I'll let Pick a Flick get to his points and stuff like that of what I want, but even that moment where they're meeting the Triads, right? And Victor is stumbling, he doesn't know what to do. He's outside and the cop comes up to him. And he's like, yes, you got anything? Nah, I don't have anything. He's like, what's this? Is that money? Just what money? And he goes, okay, that's what I thought. And the cop walks off. And Victor at first was like, okay, I don't know if I can do this or not. I don't know if I can do this life of crime. And then that opportunity knocks with the police officer. And that little, yeah, I think he got like a little bit of a high about himself. Like, okay, I can really pull this off. Since
I got this.
Yeah, I got this. I might have a little bit of a start. Yeah. I got this now. You know what? I think I'm good.
I was so then, proud of him.
Yeah, that was a good moment for Victor. But then you get to the to Oz and also Sophia. He's also struggling in there too, because the Triads want to think that he's bullshitting him the whole entire time as well. So you have that happening. So I definitely like how he goes, well, who's going to end up doing this? Johnny Vitti. I'm like, this guy doesn't give up with Johnny. He's like obsessed with Johnny, trying to get rid of him.
He wants Johnny dead so badly. You know who I don't like? Johnny Vitti.
Johnny Vitti. Just like Johnny. My beef with the Riddler, he doesn't like Johnny Vitti.
Right.
You know, like, we don't talk about Vitti. No,
oh, no, no.
No. But what about for you, Pick a Flick, though, on some of the points that we made?
Oh, yeah, man. I think that's one of the good things about this show. It just brings you through a roller coaster of emotions. Obviously, if this was real life, I would have been like Spike Lee. I would have told him to get on that bus with those other dudes in there. Got to get out of there. Go be with your woman. Go live your life. But in the show's term, just like Alex brought down, it's just, it's not that easy to just split from the mob. And knowing the Penguin, he's probably just going to pop up somewhere with them and pop, pop, take him out. That's just the end for him. So was just like, it's a tough situation here. But I do like how, Dick is starting to adapt better in this environment. Start to think, like, okay, I got the confidence. I can do this. Maybe I won't end up in the back of his Purple Rainmobile trunk. I can lift this out. This could be a good job for me. But you just never know, man. It's just a good thing I'm kind of building. It's a good character development.
It is. You go from a kid that's actually threatened by the way that the customs and everything, like, are the way of the mob, right? And then you embrace it and you realize, okay, I can actually do what they do, but just a little bit differently because I'm only the driver. Yeah. So from a driver's standpoint, it's like, okay, I can do this. I can do what they do. They'll build up that little bit of confidence. So, yeah. So
I kind of like, now I'm thinking about it, I kind of see, like, we're getting two origin stories, like, of the Penguin. Like, we're getting, like, the current Penguin now, and Victor is supposed to be a reflection of what the Penguin once was. So in a way, we're seeing, point. Like, the past and present together. So, like, Penguin's, like, mentoring himself in a way. So it's really cool to, like, oh, this is probably what Oz was like when he was younger, when he was a driver for the Falcons. So,
right. So we're that's a good point. I didn't think about that. Maybe
by the end of the series, he won't die, and we'll see, like, oh, we got, you know, the Penguin.
Yeah, that or kills him, like, I am
the new
I am the Penguin.
Right. I'm not.
I'll be okay with Penguin killing Victor, by the way, if it's via Umbrella. And right. He'll be with the Umbrella.
I agree.
And Rihanna's on stage, too.
But I also like how the Triads is like, so who's going to sign off on this, though? Right? Like, Johnny Vitti. He goes, really? The underboss is going Johnny to sign Vitti. Off on this? But he is such a dick. Johnny Vitti is a dick towards Sophia.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so you're going to tell the former mob boss's daughter that she needs to leave town.
Who's a serial killer.
Right. To go on a plane. Okay.
Italy.
Right, to Italy. Good luck with that.
Like, I don't care how much power I have. I don't think I would talk out my neck like that towards a convicted serial killer. Like, if I'm living in a house with someone who was a serial killer, why would you give them any sort of attitude?
Right. That's like telling Dexter to go F himself.
I was like, you want some dino bites? I got some dino
right.
bites. No.
Yeah. But, you know, then after that, you also have the fact that, like I said, Oz has over unpaid debt and he will only accept a range to a meeting with the Triad's leader, Feng Zhao, if they get Johnny Vitti's support. As he awaits for Oz and Sophia outside, Victor, okay, we actually talked about that. So while dining with Oz, now this to me is an asshole moment for Oz, okay? So Oz takes him out to dinner.
Oh, now.
He takes him out to dinner. He goes, hey, kid, so did you ever think that you would actually eat in a fine establishment like this? This fine restaurant? He goes, no, to be honest with you, my dad could never afford anything like this or anything like that. So it's really nice that I actually get to eat here because I always pictured myself eating somewhere in this kind of places. He goes, man, that sucks for your dad and everything. He goes, dad, that's unfortunate. Your dad's missing out. And then he orders the food. He stands up for him, right? He stands up because remember, he's taking a little bit longer to actually tell the waiter when he wants to eat. And he goes, hey, he wasn't done talking to you. Let the man finish. He goes, Oz, it's okay. No. Let him talk. So my thing with this is the asshole moment. After that happens, they order the food. Then on top of that, then we see the two prostitutes, one of them moving upstairs. The other one's still staying there because the prostitute's going upstairs to sleep with Johnny Vitti, and he doesn't even get to eat his food. He still doesn't know what it's like to eat at a 5-star restaurant because Oz is making him go upstairs to Johnny Vitti's room to train him. So I'm like, Oz, that's such a douche move. That's such a ballback move. but still.
That's no, that was Don Luca's wife.
Don Luca.
Blondwin, that was Don
Luca's wife. Yeah. Okay, my bad. Ghost. But yeah, you're right.
But I honestly, that's the scene that got me. I kind of teared up a bit. I loved it when Aegon was like, no, let him finish. Like, let him talk. Like, just like that. That's another thing that makes it their relationship so interesting. Like that connection that toxic love, toxic mentorship he has for him. Like, just the power that he's giving Victor right now, which is a big reason. I feel like it's a big reason why Victor ends up staying at the end of the episode in Gotham. Like, he's just like, no, you have to have this confidence in yourself, and like, you can't be in a position where you expect people to just take care of you. Like, you gotta get it. And if they have to wait for you to talk, F them. They can wait. And I was just like, okay, Penguin, I like that. Yeah.
He's making sense. The villain is actually making
sense. Right. That Stockholm is working on him.
I'm like, shoot, Penguin's giving out like real life advice right now. I was like, yeah, it does take me a while to talk sometimes. Or think of stuff, you know, like people can wait.
Look at that.
Absolutely. I love that part. Like,
me too. That part works.
Their relationship for me. I was like, okay, Penguin genuinely cares about him.
And then he makes a toast in his father's name, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was also another sweet moment.
This is respect. Something that Victor never gotten.
Right.
Before. Right. Or maybe he did with his family, but he just lost it all. So.
But what about you, Pick?
Oh yeah, man, that was such a very beautiful moment between the two. Again, I'm always on edge when I see them two talk, because the conversation can go a little bit at the moment, but that really seals the deal for me. I really do think that I see pieces of them, especially with that stutter, like I was mentioned earlier. Just like, let him finish, let him talk. Having a toast with his father, having this very intricate moment. It's the beautiful moment between the two. I'm interested to see how it develops further. And of course, Oz has this training day parallel, just the way Alonzo made Jake pay the bill. You're not getting your food, you get back to work.
Right, exactly. We're going to get that to go. You're going to get that in a doggy bag.
I'm like, okay, well, thanks a lot. There you go. You just have to do something. One thing.
Two things that I cannot have.
I love the consistency.
Right? But then we were mentioning, like, Sophia and John go over to Johnny V's room, and he's banging Luca Falcone's wife, forcing him to support their plan and call Veg Zaho as a sign of trust. They meet with the nightclub, and Zaho is intrigued. He believes the risk outweighs the benefits, and Sophia's stay at Arkham is a liability. Sophia convinces him to give it a chance, pointing out that the citizens of Gotham will be rushed to use the drug as an escape after what the Riddler did to the city, but upset, she leaves the meeting as Oz secure the Triad's partnership. While Victor tries to dance with a girl in the nightclub, the lights triggers Victor's memories of the night of the seawall's explosion, causing him to have a panic attack. So, yeah.
Poor Victor. That, like, obviously, I feel like a bunch of people would definitely have, like, severe trauma from an incident like that. So I was just like, oh yeah, totally. I'm surprised we haven't seen something like that sooner. You know,
right.
The gun's going off, the car crashes they've been in, just these three episodes. Like, I was like, oh, now it's, you know, Victor's like really pushing it down.
Exactly, because you wind up seeing the nightclub scene, right? Where it looks like this big, huge, yellow, orange kind of looking light that simulates an explosion. And especially with the speakers and everything else is being amplified and turned up to 100. He's going to have a huge PTSD problem. I like also, too, how they play around with the special effects of him being on the rooftop and picturing himself on the rooftop again. And then you see the drug just bouncing off the roof a little bit, to where it shows, like, the impact of the explosion. And I think it also goes with the consequences of, if he sells this drug, there's something more that's going to end up happening as well. So it's a reflection of his own self now, and also a reflection of his past. That's what I got out of it. too.
You know what I'm thinking? I don't know. I was playing around with this idea for a minute, but like just in that moment when he's like interacting with the Bliss, he doesn't ingest any of it, but it made me once again, like we were talking about Scarecrow earlier, like he's messing with his drug. You know, he's not, once again, he's not taking it, he's passing it around, but like while this drug is being used, he then experiences like one of his worst fears. So I was in that little moment, I was like, was that like a kind of, maybe it was unintentional, maybe I'm just like looking into it too much, but I was like, oh, is that kind of like a fear toxin thing? Like just the vibe of the crowd and this drug like triggered,
you know, fear. What, you know? I thought about that too myself though as well. I'm like, wait, did something happen? Did he take one on an accident? Did he inhale something to get that? Because I was also thinking of a fear of toxin too, because it makes sense, right? Yeah. Like all of a sudden now in the nightclub, whenever a Penguin needs him the most, that's when he has that PTSD moment. So that's what I was thinking in my head is like, did he inhale something? Did something happen? Did he accidentally did he take the drug himself? So I was actually playing around with that idea as well too. So we might actually be right on that, if anything. But then there's also the anxiety of the fact that he could get caught with these drugs as well, because remember, he's actually the person that takes the drugs out and gives it over to the girls. The girls give him the roll of money, and then he pays up to Penguin.
Bag man.
He's the bag man. But then even in the, but another thing I liked is too, like I want to go back to the Donny Vitti thing for a minute. Whenever he winds up talking to Johnny Vitti, he ends up saying, you know why people want to keep you around? To amuse you and to amuse themselves. And then he takes something and he winds up basically trying to take out his teeth if he doesn't go ahead and do the deal. Next thing you know, he makes the triad deal and everything. But, you know, I definitely like how they set all that up. But then you, like we were talking about in the club, I love the club scene. The club scene is hands down probably one of my favorite scenes in the third, in this third episode.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after that, he's like, look, I don't know if I can do this. Victor goes into the bathroom and he meets up with Oz. And he goes, hey, what's going on? You're kind of distracted. He goes, look, there's this girl. I'm thinking about leaving. He goes, what do you mean you're thinking about leaving? He takes the gun, points it to Victor's head. He goes, I just want to let you know, you could have left at any moment. I'm like, when?
I'm not leaving any moment. Hostage. This is what I felt the pain in that. I really felt the pain in that. Like, definitely plays into the Stockholm Syndrome thing, but he's, yeah, he's definitely gaslighting him. Like, yes, you were holding him hostage. You said if you did in the first episode, you said if you leave, I'll kill you. I'll find you and kill you. And everyone,
right.
But he's just like, is this like, I kind of felt for the Penguin when he had the gun into his head. It's like, is this what it feels like being with me? Is that, am I that bad? Is this what it, I was like, I'm like, that's, you're coming from some hurt, bud. You're a free word, and I felt for Penguin in a way there, but also like, yes, I do feel that way around you. You're proving my point.
Right, exactly. Tell me you're a psycho without telling me you're a psycho, right?
Yeah.
But what about for you, Pick? What else stands out for you?
At that moment, I was just thinking, what if the odds of I just knock his good leg out? Whole mafia. Justified. It's justified at that point. Again, I thought that was it for Vic. I knew that we still got more episodes to go, but that moment again, that manipulation tactic is just run high again and less than gone. Okay, here we go again. Cat and mouse once again. He's pissing me off. It's just like an up and down again. And the follow-up scene, it's just a really good testament to how Colin Farrell should act. It's such a complex individual.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. They should want to fight.
But then you get into the thing of Victor taking Oswald's car. And he leaves. And then you see the outcome later on. It's like, okay, if Victor would have stayed there with Oz, he would have been also having a gun to his face because of the other family coming in. So there's that consequence of like, okay. It almost feels like a Bronx Tale where basically we have Quadral, right? He winds up at the very end of it, basically, or towards the middle, he winds up hanging out with the wrong crowd or something. And the mafia boss is like, hey, look, these kids are no good. You don't need to be hanging around them. Next thing you know, something winds up happening. The mob boss takes him out, winds up taking Quadrol out of the car. And something winds up happening to their friends. And if he would have been in that car, Quadrol would have died. This is also how I feel about this as well, where basically if Victor would have stayed there, something would have happened to Victor.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, kid, come on. Tell me that you're gonna go with your girlfriend. Because I was actually rooting for it. Then he just watches her. And I'm like, nah, he's not. He's gonna stay.
Oh,
it's like he doesn't want to go through the struggle again. Like, Penguin had a point. Like, you can go, and you go end up like your dad. Like, you know, like working your butt off, and then not getting anything out of it. You know, just living in constant struggle. So it was like that. That got to him.
Exactly. And then you had Nadia as well that's holding the gun to Oz's head, which is Nadia Maroney. And now it's dangerous because now she realizes, oh, he's playing both sides. Now Sophia's also realizing, too, that that Oz is also playing both sides now of the coin. So now it's like, what the hell are you going to do to get out of this situation now? Because now that... Maroney's know about the drug because they've been tailing him and they know that they've been working with Sophia. Sophia can't get rid of Oz. And then Oz cannot kill Sophia. So therefore now they have no choice but to probably kick up the Maroney's and give them part of the drug money to keep things on the quietness of it. And probably they might even have to kick up to the underboss now.
Johnny Meany.
Yep.
Johnny
Meany. Johnny Mendicini.
Take him down.
It was him.
Johnny Meany.
But I could just see who was in the car. Johnny Meany.
Nope. That looked yes. Like me. He was definitely in the car.
Where was Victor? Oh, he was at the Greyhound meeting.
Victor's gone.
He's gone.
That's not really what he did.
I don't know Victor. I just
who's Victor?
What's a Victor? Who are you?
Who ran over the Maroney boys with the car? That was definitely Johnny.
Johnny.
Johnny. Professor Plum.
That Johnny guy.
Yeah. You know, I think it was Johnny Beatty. You know, he's banging Luca's girl and everything. He was in the back of the car, basically banging her inside the car, giving him a BJ.
Yeah, it was Johnny Beatty in that purple Rainmobile.
Right? But I like how then, you know, all of a sudden Oz gets inside the car and he goes, oh, you're in it now, kid. You're in it now.
What about Sophia? Fuck Sophia. We got to get out of here.
Let's go.
After you
whatever happens, it happens to
it's real. Let's go.
It's real life now.
You're in it now.
Sophia queen.
You literally just cry.
But that's also going to end up putting that's also going to put a damper on their relationship now to the point where she doesn't want to trust him. But even if it was Johnny Beatty, he can't pin that on Johnny Beatty because he gets in the car with them. So there goes that alibi.
Sophia, let me tell you, it was Johnny Beatty.
It was Johnny Beatty.
Hey, Oz, get in the car. So I got in the car.
Take some of this bliss. Johnny Beatty was in that car. Dick is gone.
But it's going to be interesting on how they play that out. The only way, like I said, the only way I can see it is they're going to have to split the drug money. Because think of it like this. If Luca finds out that Beatty was even attached to this, even though he was forcefully having to do it, he's dead. So therefore, you have this kick out to him and make some side money off him, and then he gives it over to the boss, trying to make payments to the boss and kicking up to him, because even though he's an underboss. But then you also have to think of it like this, though, too. You also have to do the Maroney's, so therefore that money's going on. Therefore, you don't make no profits because everything is going to get kicking up to somebody else, and all you do is get like a small end, which is barely nothing. Maybe you might get maybe 10, maybe 15K. Maybe I'm not doing mob math or anything, but you know,
helps it.
Yeah, I'll park with
that.
That makes sense.
You know, 15K a month, I wouldn't be that mad.
I don't know. Like, I would be losing out on like 45,000 to maybe more. So yeah. But any more predictions as well? I'm just wondering.
Sophia's gonna keep trying to steal my heart. And then Batman's gonna put someone in a coma in the season finale. He's just gonna
maybe Johnny B.
I want to see that so bad.
Johnny B.
Beat
him by Batman. That's legit. I legit believe Batman is gonna be in this series, like in the final scene. Like Penguin is gonna be happy, like, yeah, I'm the boss of Boston, and then dun, dun, dun.
Like having kind of like a Fisk kind of thing to it, like with Matt Murdock, right? Where basically, I can see that happening because things like this, if they put Batman in it now, it kind of outshines a little bit of Colin Farrell.
Yeah,
so they forget, right? And right now, Colin is the star. He's keeping this thing going, and so is Victor. So I mean, I really love this show. I'm hands down one of my favorite shows to watch on Sundays now. I cannot praise this show enough. But I also want to say this, though, Alex, okay? And pick up, like, so what do you think about this? So I have this in my notes as well. I said, with Victor's parents dying in Gotham and Vic making the choice that he makes at the end of the episode, is like he lost his innocence and soul to the city just as his parents lost their lives to Gotham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I got out of this, though, too, with Victor. But still a solid episode. Alex, I know that you've been rating individual episodes and stuff.
Yeah.
As well. I love how you do that. I love how you rate that. So what was the score that you gave this one?
I gave this episode a 3.5 out of 5 stars. Now, I like to grade on the higher end. So, like, 3 and up is, like, 3 in the 3 range. It's good. It wasn't as like this episode, like is a good episode. Wasn't as engaging to me as the first two, but like not knocking it.
Right. I feel like we need moments like this to slow down a little.
Yeah.
Bit to get to know the character.
It is very much a slower episode. You know, it's building. It's a build up. This was a build up episode.
Right. And, I always like that slow burn to something.
So you sacrifice a little bit to, because I am pretty sure the next few episodes are going to be like bangers because of the setup in this one. So I gave the last two episodes 4 out of 5, and then this one 3.5. Then I have a feeling we might get a 5 in there, maybe.
Okay. What about for you, Pick, of like any predictions for this go round or anything like that?
Yeah, my number one prediction, Johnny Vitti is gonna go down. I don't know how we're gonna do it, but he's gonna go down.
Us too.
Right.
Seriously.
That's how I'm still gonna go on my theory of everybody kicking up to everybody and stuff like that. You guys already know my predictions. So yeah. My question for you guys is that you guys are watching. What's your predictions? What do you rate this episode? Also too. Tell me in the comments below. I like to geek out with you guys and stuff like that and have conversations with you. Also, too, you can also go ahead and go on Spotify now to our audio podcast. And I can geek out with you over there. Or just email me at movielovertonight@gmail.com. Rate me over there on iTunes and Spotify, wherever you guys get your podcast from. Tell me some of your predictions, and I'll also go in and put that on the next show. You'll get a shout-out from me on the next show as well. So, Alex, what's going on your channel on Haynes of Ains for Heroes? I love that.
Thank you. So I'm currently working on my next video for the episode 4. I don't know numbers. Of Agatha 4, 5. It's 5. Agatha All Along on Disney Plus. I love me superhero stuff, and apparently I guess I love me some witches too. So that video will be coming soon.
Okay. So what about for you, Pick a Flick? What's coming on for you as far as your podcast goes?
Well, it is the month of October, so I'm going to be rolling out some horror movie reviews, starting with In a Violent Nature. It's a very interesting movie about the killer's POV, how he does things. It's a very interesting movie. So we're working on that review now, and it'll probably be out within the next week or so, and then more movies to come. And of course, I'm active on Letterboxd. I just did something for the latest Joker movie, which not the Hollywood thing, but we're moving over here.
I gotcha. So tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, I will be joined by Danny Elfman's brother, Richard Elfman, tomorrow night for a special interview because he ended up making a movie with him and his wife, Anastasia Elfman, for the movie Bloody Bridget. They're going to be, and matter of fact, I'm interviewing him tomorrow night. Then Friday, I'm interviewing his wife. So I had the pleasure of talking to the both of them. I can't wait to do that. And then, of course, we're also doing some stuff for Halloween as well. I just dropped my Fright Night review on the audio podcast, and of course, on the video as well. And then also, too, another thing I dropped as well is the Sam's Lot remake review as well. So you guys can check that out only on the YouTube channel itself. Don't forget to smash the like button, subscribe button, and all that other good stuff. Visit Haynes for Heroes and be a hero in his life as well, because he deserves it. Go on ahead, visit the Pick a Flick. He's going to find some good flicks for you. And always until next time, guys, have a great and safe night. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. See ya.
Bye.